Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go.
Okay, guys, a big welcome along to a special episode of the Irish Photography Podcast. Today we are coming from D-Light Studios in Dublin, where we, myself and Darren and John, unfortunately John couldn't be here, but we got invited to a special Canon EOS R event. In conjunction, we were invited up by Cannes Cameras. Thank you very much to them. They've been absolutely excellent by helping us along here today. Cannes have been in business for 50 years this month, and that they're a second generation family business, and they welcome everyone from the happy snappers to professional photographers. You can find a bit more about Cannes Cameras on cannes.ie, and on there you get a bit of a brief from Mike talking about upcoming anniversary and recent Canon video. But we'll just push that to the side and we might come back to that in a while. But I'm joined here, like I said a minute ago, with my co-host Darren. Darren, what you think so far, buddy?
Oh, it's been awesome, man. It's been great. Even having hands-on time with the camera and with everybody else as well here, you can see by their facial expressions, it's quite surprising. It surprised me how comfortable it was in my hand. I wasn't expecting it to be as comfortable as that. And just even on the different things that we've had exclusive access on it, really, because it's not going to be launched until October. So I'm delighted to be here. I think it's really good. Both of us shoot Canon. So, you know, we're both Canon fanboys. And to get an opportunity like that to come here and, you know, meet other people.
We're privileged.
Yeah, absolutely. Meet other people. And, you know, even Sanjay, the guy who has done the presentation at the beginning, phenomenal photographer, looking at his details. And I mean, as you know, I'm a landscape photographer. But from your point of view, he does weddings.
Man, I was absolutely, I'm not joking, I was blown away. I would only be an eighth of the photographer that he is. Like, he's...
Unreal. Unreal.
Unreal.
Yeah. I mean, even looking at the pictures that they've printed, like, so there's some print, there's some pictures here that they've printed. I'll actually take some photos and we can put them up on the group of it. But he got early access into the camera, and just was for our listeners to understand it. They got early access into the camera. He went to shoot a wedding, and he only shot in JPEG because he had the RAW files. He shot in JPEG and he shot in RAW, but he only processed the JPEGs because he didn't have the software to process the RAWs yet. And the quality of these shots is phenomenal.
Come here, what's the point in shooting RAW if you can deliver, well, he can deliver that, I should say.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, look, even his shots he's taken there so far have been phenomenal. Like, even on his showreel were outrageous.
Sure, what did he say? My speech has to follow that video.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the video is... Yeah, fantastic as well. Yeah. So a big shout out to whoever did that for him. Was really, really good.
Unreal, you know what I mean? Even just from the whole production of it. I mean, as you know, I kind of toy around with doing stuff like that. And what he did was, it was amazing. I mean, I had everybody here. There was a round of applause after it. Nobody had a round of applause for the camera people. There was a round of applause after his show reel. So, you know, that will tell you what it was. Phenomenal, yeah. So, you know, like, the day today has been great so far. I'm looking forward to having a chat with him now as well shortly. You know, hopefully maybe we might get him over here and we can have a chat with him about it and his experience with it. We'd be a good exclusive because he's a newly appointed Canon ambassador, and he got early access into the Canon EOS R. So
didn't he say he's only one of the 12 people in the world that had one or something like
yeah
that?
There was only 12 in the world and he had two of them and he was shooting this wedding. So, I mean, wow, man. You know? Unreal. Unreal altogether, yeah.
Okay, so let's paint a picture for all the listeners, Darren. When we came in today, Canon were great. They even gave you tea and coffee. They even offered it to me, but I don't like tea or coffee. So scratch that.
Weirdo.
But they gave us a Canon goodie bag. So we got all these great little things, and it was great to get. And then we were, Garrett, we got to meet Garrett again. Some of our listeners might have seen him in our VSP video. Or not a VSP video, the Canon EOS launch in Whelan's.
Yeah.
And Garrett is great. Like, you know, you got to meet him for the first time.
Yeah.
And then he started showing us then all the printers. So all the people here then, and we'll get to the setups now in a minute, but everyone gets to print out one picture. Is it one or two? I think it's one.
I don't know. I think they said, you know, they'll collate the images at the end. If you want, you can print them out there as well. And you get to print it on the, like, that Canon printer is...
what was it, a Canon Pix Pro 1 or something?
It's over there. I can't see what it is from here. I need to get my binoculars.
It's unreal, though. But yeah,
I mean, and look just even at the quality that they've done. Yeah. And like they're plugging people's stuff in there now and printing. And already.
It's on an iMac Pro, so it's like $6,500 worth of a computer. Like,
yeah,
as well, like,
exactly. You know. Yeah, I mean, it's like, gas. Look, you're not getting it, Todd. You're not getting it.
I got a new Mac a few weeks ago, so I'm okay for now, but I would buy it if I had $6,500.
It's shiny. I must have it.
Oh, yeah. It is lovely. But so back to painting the picture. So, and then we come into this massive, vast space of kind of, not a derelict building, but one that we kind of use for art, kind of arty-farty stuff, do you know, all that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have chairs, and there's, I counted them a while ago, 33 people here, 35 including ourselves.
Wow.
So
we're in a very, very small exclusive club.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. You know? And we got to see this presentation then up in this massive white kind of board that looks like a half pipe for... skis, not skis.
Skateboarders.
Skateboarders.
Well, yeah, guys, and the snowboarding as well could use those too. Like, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I figured that much, right? Yeah.
But it's all painted white then, so they have this big, massive reel up in it then, and you have Sanjay Jogia. Is that anybody? I'm probably butchering his name now, but
you probably are, because you butcher most people's names, including mine.
I know, Spoonie.
Yeah.
But he's all his images then on a kind of a continuous loop, and they're just mind blown. There's a picture up there now that looks like you're on that South African one. She's really hot. Charlize Theron. She's the head off her.
And even that picture, we probably can't show anybody, you know. But even looking at that picture, just the way he's got it done is phenomenal.
You were saying the symmetry. About
symmetry
it,
is perfect, you know.
Yeah.
The exposure is perfect. I mean, everything. I mean, okay, the woman is absolutely beautiful, but, you know, regardless of that, it's still a great photo.
Yeah, yeah. So then he gave a bit of a talk for about 15, 20 minutes, and then another person gave a quick little talk. And then we got separated into three groups, and we got brought to three different sets. So our first set, we got brought into a pure dark room, like, and then... towards all these kind of continuous LED lights, so they were fantastic, and the power off them was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was only at 13%.
13%?
Yeah, 13%.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was looking at you, was like, you know, is this up full blast? And you almost like, no. So she turned it up a small bit, and then I looked around, it was at 13%.
I need to get one of them.
Yeah, I don't know who did it actually, I must have a look at it.
I think they're meant for other ones.
I mean, I'm, as everybody would know at this stage, I say it often enough, I'm a landscape photographer. So I'm really out of my comfort zone to coming and taking photos.
But Darren, you're enjoying it. See the smile in your face with this camera. Like,
yeah. Look, forget about the camera. I mean, look, what I'm taking the photos of there is phenomenal. You know, it's controlled light. I've never shot with controlled
light.
Tell them
what you're photographing.
Insects.
It was a praying mantis.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I've never seen one before in my life, unless it was in a zoo or something.
And the funny thing about it is it's my first time using the camera. And, you know, I said before, like when John did the thing about the launch and the emergency podcast, that I'm going Sony, but I'm looking at this camera and going, I know where the buttons are. I know how to use it. It actually feels good in my hand. And to get the camera for the first time, I mean, if you gave me a Sony right now, and I was having to go and take those photos, I'd probably still be struggling with the damn thing. Mm. Whereas, bang, I knew exactly what I was doing. It's the same menu system. Okay, the buttons are in a different place, but I knew what I was doing. And I was able to take the shots.
Yeah.
And I actually,
Give it time. I think, right? I still think you're on the fence, all right? But I have a funny feeling when they do bring out the next one, I'll blow you away and you will change your mind. Because if this camera has anything to go on the next one, Darren, if I had money now, I genuinely would think about buying this camera. It's been sold to me today. I am blown away.
I'm the same, and that's the thing. You know, I said before I was going to go Sony, but then I was like, oh sure, look, I'll come along here for the hands-on. I'm a Canon fanboy, as we know. But just when I put it into my hand, I was expecting it to feel different, but it actually felt natural. And they also have a 6D Mark II here. I didn't pick that up. They also have a 5D Mark IV. I picked that up.
That was lovely as well.
Yeah, but the 5D Mark IV, you know, that's substantial.
Yeah.
Like it's big. And I mean, I've small enough hands, you know, and even looking at that, I'm like, Jesus, this is... I actually preferred the holding of the EOS R than the 5D Mark IV.
Yeah.
And also as well, in the first one that we were at with the Praying Mantis, and I was only using the EOS R. And then I said, okay, we'll go to the next one, which was we'll probably talk in a second, which is the model. And I picked up a 5D Mark IV, and I was like, okay, how do I work this thing? the EOS R felt more intuitive to me than the 5D Mark IV. I'm using the Canon 6D at the moment.
So it's way more comfortable for you to use.
I really enjoyed it, yeah, and I was able to navigate around the menu systems. Okay, you know, like I said a moment ago, they're very, very similar, but they're different as well. It's a whole new system that they have.
Yeah.
But it was like as if I'd used the thing before, and then looking through the EVF, the electronic viewfinder, I wouldn't say mediocre hopes of it. I had kind of low hopes in regards to it, because I was thinking, okay, how is it going to be able to do it and stuff like that. And I remember you did the video and you were looking through and you're going, okay, there's no lag or anything like that. There was no lag.
No.
It was like as if I was looking at a viewfinder, but I can't, and I tried to break the habit. It took me a while to get my out of it. You know, if you're looking, you're taking your photos and you take the photo and then you look down the back of the screen.
Mm.
You don't need to do that with this thing.
It just comes up straight.
It just comes up on the screen in front of you, and this is exactly the shot how it's going. I love it. It's great.
Come here, tell me, what do you think of the ergonomics of the camera itself? How to feel, the weight of it?
Oh, the build quality is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like I said, a moment, felt very, very comfortable in my hand, you know. I was expecting, like, even the lenses, the new lenses. They're lovely, man. The new lenses are lovely.
Gosh, there's no 28-70 here, though.
I don't know. I used the 24-105.
It could be here, but I haven't seen it.
I used 24-105 and I used the 50. And
that was
50 was lovely.
Absolutely immense.
50 was really, really nice.
But you know what? Even the 24-105 is, it's really, really, like, yeah. David Woodland now is going to love, because that is his favourite lens. He has the 20 Mark I and he loves it.
It's phenomenal.
And this is like, there's a Mark II out for normal, not normal cameras, but Canon, full frame, whatever, a lens. And now then this 24-105, it's so, so good. It's so sharp.
And the extra piece at the top, that extra turny dial.
The turny dial.
Oh, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the best one yet. There's me with flippy outy screen.
Flippy outy screen. And the turny dial.
Turny dial. Oh, my God.
But,
my goodness.
Really, really good, you know. And then the second thing we went on to was the model photography. And again, I'd never done that before. Using controlled light, you know, and again, I went, okay, and I had the 5D Mark IV, got my head around it eventually, but then I went over and got the EOS R, and I went, oh, I know what to use this already. It's like as if it was an old friend, and I only just met it 10 minutes ago. Do you know that kind of way?
Would you go for a pint of them?
I would, yeah.
What would you drink?
Ah, Jesus, a pint of Heineken anyway, I suppose, would be the good thing, like, you know what I mean? But you'd have to get some Japanese beer or something anyway, like, to keep it kind of friendly, you know?
Teriyaki,
yeah. But, yeah, and then we were doing the shooting, and there was a girl there dressed from the
Jade,
yeah,
she was lovely,
and like, there was an old gramophone and stuff there, and a lovely simple little set, but the lighting was perfect again, and even looking at the lighting was on its lowest setting. The whole idea there was for low light photography,
and it worked flawlessly.
Bang, 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 and I'm like, wow, just I could get used to this sort of stuff, like, you know. But again, like we had discussed before about, you know, controlling light, man, that was perfect light. I really, really enjoyed that. And then went to the other section where there was smoke. And it kind of gave a nice atmosphere, ethereal kind of look in regards to it. You know, I started playing around there then as well. And interestingly, we said before about having different styles. I started thinking from a landscape point of view, taking the photo, even though she was sitting in a chair.
You're using your rule of thirds with the model, basically.
Yeah, and I got down low to the ground, you know, and there was one shot that I got there, there was all candlelight and everything with her, and the reflection of the candle was coming off the floor.
Yeah, I saw, you showed me that image. Now, Darren, you're not a portrait photographer. You not can't even take a photograph of your kids, but you did well at that one, buddy.
Man, that's nice. Like, I can't wait to have a look at that. And they gave us SD cards.
Yeah.
We got free SD cards.
But come here, I guarantee you know, Darren will go home tonight to Stacey and he'll be like, here, Stacey, put your arm this way and bend your leg here.
Well, that's one thing, actually. You could tell the people that have done that before because they were directing the model. I was as quiet as a mouse. I was like, squeak.
You know? I was telling her to do a small bit, a few bits and bobs, but she's a professional model, so we didn't really need to tell her because
she kept moving.
Every
time
she hears a click, shutter,
she looks.
She changed her look, and she's very, very good, and she's very confident in her ability. Now she has dropped a gorgeous, fantastic model.
Yeah.
So it's okay for her, you know. So, yeah. But she did her job really, really well.
And then, like, what do you think from coming from that out then to here where we are with the mushrooms?
One second now, we have to rewind a small bit because there's a second model that came on the shoot.
Oh, that's the guy from Limerick.
He was very good. No, guys, he was phenomenal.
Actually, it's a good point. So those of you know that follow us on our Facebook group and on Instagram will have seen the picture that I would have posted.
Oh, did you post it already?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. I posted of Mr. Dermot O'Donovan, who couldn't, you know, be happy with anybody else taking the limelight, so he decided to sit down in this chair, and they were in limited supply, these EOS OSRs, but Dermot had to have two. One in each hand, you know, he was like a gunslinger. And, but I actually took the photo, and again, I'd never taken stuff like that. I hope it turns out, I don't know, but I was using the 5D Mark IV, I think, when I took that shot.
Because
like we had six EOSRs, and Dermot had two, and I couldn't have the third, like, you know. But yeah, so he sat in there like the king of the hill.
But come here, everyone loved it. Everyone started to make pictures.
Yeah, everyone was
of
taking pictures of it, yeah. And then, okay, look, you know what, I kind of got caught up in it too. Then I sat down and I had the headphones on and was plugged into the old gramophone, you know. So that I think that could that be a good funny. Shot too, like, you know.
But you know what, Ali's a Canon rep. She's actually, ironically enough, from Limerick, and I recognise her face. Like,
yeah.
And she came up with that idea, plugging the wire
so,
into
so I had the cable plugged into the gramophone, you know, and then I kind of a look and a feel in my face is what's right, it's not working.
Yeah.
You know,
that was a funny that's a funny photograph, so that'll definitely have to go up soon.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, it could be interesting, yeah. But like I said, I mean, that was my first time ever doing that and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I didn't have to struggle with the camera, did you get me?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be one thing
it worked you.
It'd be one thing me going into a whole new environment, which I was. But then give me something else that I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. That's going to make it double hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I struggled with the 5D Mark IV because I was just after getting so used to, like I said a second ago, with the OSR. So
yeah, yeah.
Mad, man, mad. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the second exclusive model, and I became a very quick third, but I jumped over the seat as when other people started taking my photos. I ran away.
I was loving it, laving it up, you know. Right, so we got moved on then to another set, Darren, and you alluded to it there a few minutes ago about mushrooms. And I knew, and it was funny because this lady was there a while ago and she was hiding something. Well, she wasn't hiding something, she was moving something away. And I saw something moving, right? And then we come up to the set and I said, it was just mushrooms and no one else saw what she had in her hand. I said, have you got something else there?
I said, of course, I was curious, George.
I said, have you got something else there? Because I could have sworn I seen something moving in your hands. And then some guy called Joe. I just met him actually a while ago, and we'll get back to Joe in a few minutes. Hopefully he'll come over for a quick chat.
There, actually.
Yeah, we'll get him. He actually knows BG as well. But
who doesn't?
But then he's like, yeah, I think you're losing your mind. I was like, maybe it's all the mushrooms that I ate and I don't understand. Which, no, I was right. She whipped out a frog or a toad. Or what, is it a frog?
Frog.
Frog.
Yeah, frog.
What is the difference between a frog and a toad?
I don't know. I should know, but I don't
know. Working maxi, dude.
Yeah, but that's an amphibious creature, and it's not a pet, really. It's a wild animal, so I don't really know. I think a toad is bigger than a frog.
Okay.
But obviously, there's going to be a lot more differences. So, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me what you needed. I am. I don't know about
everyone's going to jump on you and attack you.
Yeah. Who doesn't know is amphibians.
That works in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so, you know, that was different. Again, that was interesting, you know. Actually, funnily enough, it's interesting to say about mushrooms because I'd never taken photos in the wild of mushrooms and I came across one a couple of weeks back. It's on, not to plug, but it's on my next episode of my vlog. And I nearly stepped on the shagging thing. and then I went, wow, look at that. So I decided to take a photo of it. I had no macro lens written like that. I know you were looking for the macro lens as well.
I have to go back and get that because I want that frog's eye.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and the rest of it then just to fall off.
Yeah, yeah. So you know what? That was three different things, and it was really, really interesting to me to shoot them, you know. And like the fourth activity then that we have is to go meet Sanjay. So what we hopefully try and do is get him over here so everybody can meet him.
Yeah.
Because he seems quite interesting, quite competent in his photos. Like we're looking at one there now.
Which one is this?
It's a wedding photo.
Again, symmetry.
Yeah, it's bang on. I mean, look, there's no difference left and right. And there's a couple in the centre of the frame. It's a wedding, and it's a phenomenal photo.
And
but I might try and
even
do there.
And even that now, before you just...
Wait, I'm going to run over and take a picture before it changes. Keep talking.
Go on. Darren, you're a weirdo. So Darren has left me on my own. So I'm actually just going to quickly describe the rest of the image properly. So the... and, of course, Darren gets in the way, so I can't actually describe it properly. You just got in my way and I'm trying to describe it. But the bride is leading the groom
I'm
kind
back.
Of through the these kind of poles of Greek descent. And in that then there's a doorway in behind. So it's a frame within a frame within a frame. Do you know? And it's those little details.
Oh, it's unreal. And even the sky there, you can barely see it here. But
do you know what? This shot was very creative, right? Because this photograph is shot on the wrong white balance. And then he's using an orange gel then to warm them up. So it gives a really kind of a blue hour effect on the
but
sky.
But you reckon he's got lighting in behind where they are as well
of
in the centre?
Of course.
I mean, it's of course. It's lovely. I mean, I went over there, got up off the seat, forgot I had a headphone attached to me, and nearly took Dermot with me. But anyway, that's a different story. So yeah, I took the photo, and I'll put that up on the group as well.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can talk to Sanjay in regards to, you know, his thought process behind his photos and stuff like that, you know.
Cool.
But really, really good so far.
All right. Darren, will we try hunt some people down and try get them over to have a quick chat or two?
Yeah, you can do the best. You're the charmer.
I am.
You're from Limerick.
All right, so guys. So we're just going to have a quick word from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Today's episode is sponsored by Conn's Cameras. Conn's Cameras is a family-run business established by Phil Conn in 1968. They welcome the happy snapper and the professional photographer alike. They offer an excellent backup service on all items they sell, including the facility to provide loan equipment. They also offer hire, try before you buy, and trade-in services, and have an on-site sensor cleaning service for both dry and wet dust removal. So why don't you visit Conn's Cameras at conscameras.ie, or even better, call in to see the lads at 54 Clarendon Street, Dublin 2. That's conscameras.ie. Okay, cool. So guys, we're back here, and we're having a little snigger or two. So we're after managing to get Pumas Joe over to talk to us. How are you, Joe?
Very good. And yourselves, lads?
What's your second name?
It's Ladrigan.
Ladrigan?
Yeah, we just go with that.
Is Scottish or Irish?
I have
no idea,
to be honest. I think it's partly American, part Irish. I have no idea.
I thought I was hard with Spoonley.
Yeah, your shocking, stupid Welsh name.
I know, it's true.
So, Joe, tell us a bit about yourself. Who is Joe Ladrigan?
So
did I get it?
You got it right, actually, which is impressive. Boom. Most people never get that first time around. So I don't even have the name online, but joe.ire is my Instagram handle, and I just kind of got into photography about 2 years ago. It's completely new to me. I had zero interest in photography, never owned a camera, nothing at all to do with it, and then bought a camera by chance. My brother had one.
What camera did you buy?
My brother borrowed a 5D Mark I, right, to take pictures of a college project, right? I had no idea what that was, or I had no idea what a DSLR was. I still don't even know what ISO stands for, anything like that. I have no interest in anything technical to do with photography. I just borrowed this camera for a month and took a few pictures of our dogs, you know, totally casual. He gave it away, and he gave it back to college. And a month later, I bought a camera just because I thought it was fun to use it. It was kind of cool to take a few pictures. Year after buying that camera, I quit my job in finance to become a full-time photographer on the back of Instagram.
That is
really on the
phenomenal.
Back.
That's
phenomenal. And it wasn't like I didn't plan it. I didn't think this is what I wanted to do. I had no idea I even liked photography till I picked up that camera the first time. So that was a year. That was last March. I became a full-time photographer, and the past year and a half has just been constant.
What photographer? Sorry, Darren, were you going to ask something?
No, I was just going to say that's impressive.
Okay,
go ahead.
So
lucky, I think, is more the word. But
well, yeah, but you know, everything is life and is luck.
It's kind of right place, right time.
Exactly.
Isn't it,
so what type of photographer are you? What do you do?
So for myself, I specialize working with commercial brand outdoor photography. So we do a lot with we'd work with North Face, things like that, 53 degrees North. Work with Canon, do events like that, where we just take brands and bring them outdoors into what we do, and just incorporate their brand into
that's
how
cool.
We shoot.
Yeah, so take us through a quick little North. You were talking about North Face.
Well, that was a very lucky one, actually, because on the back of I do a lot of outdoor photography, not particularly landscape, but like, you know, just hiking. We'd be out and just shooting ourselves casually, and I got 53 degrees North. Kind of got in touch. Said, we like your images. Can we just share them online? I said, yeah. Work away. Went to an event with them. Met the guys and the team, and they said, look, we like what you're shooting. We like what you're doing. Thanks for sending us the images. Any chance you want to come on a trip with us to just capture some footage for the North Face on their new venue?
Awesome.
But a lot of it just right place, right time. Yeah. So for me, it's not even like I genuinely know nothing about the camera I use. I don't know how the settings work. I just know how to dial the dials till I get a shot. So for me, when I show up, I just like having fun. I don't care how you're going to take the picture. And if it looks nice, it looks nice. That's cool. So I think when I meet people like that, it's very casual.
Yeah.
I'm not stressed about getting a shot. So the client, I don't want a client to be stressed. So if I can't have fun shooting, I'm not going to do the shoot.
Right,
so
okay,
that's shoot.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think with the North Face one, it was just very much go along. I was running up the back of this mountain on ropes trying to keep up with these North Face people, like when they were promoting this. And I was thinking here, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea how to do this shoot. But I was like, you know what? I had fun. And it came across in the shots. So the client loved it. And I think it was more important to just enjoy the process of taking it.
Yes.
And I say that when we give a lot of talks for young photographers, and we say, how do you get into commercial brand photography? And it's like, just be fun. Be friendly.
Be out there. Be yourself.
Be at the events. Be yourself and be friendly to be around. And that's going to come across to your client, to your images. And don't stress too much on your settings. No one cares what camera you have. No one even knows the difference.
They don't.
That's the reality.
You allude to that there. Like, you talk about that. Like, you have Levi Sims is shooting Micro Four Thirds camera. Like, and you don't know whether he's shooting on a full frame camera or Micro Four Thirds camera.
You've got to be honest. Like, 99% of your clients or anyone who's looking at it is viewing it on a phone. They have no idea what lens that was shot in. They have no idea what camera that was shot
in. It's funny you say that now, because he said, I got a new lens there about 2 weeks ago. I got Sigma 12-24, do you know the art lens? Yeah. Phenomenal. So I was there going, look at this picture. And he's there going, oh, class, class. What you think of this picture? And he sent me, and it's really, really good. And now, say that now. I was looking at my phone now. I wasn't on my computer. And next to me, I was like, holy crap. I said, that's really good. It's really sharp. What did he shoot it on? His iPhone 8 Plus.
I honestly see stuff that people put up online. I'm like, how is that better, that video? And like, oh, it was the iPhone 8. And I was like, but it's kind of frustrating that, you know, when you go to all the trouble of setting up these professional shoots on these cameras, then you realize it's just that old saying of the best one is the one you have with you.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I think people are so caught up with, like, I need to have this and that. They're just not really using what they have, as more importantly. So I think for me and like yourselves, we kind of know this now because you've done it so many times where you've gone to the trouble of setting it up only to put it online and go, quality, this is just not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And as you say, you know, the person that's actually going to be viewing that, they don't know the backstory. They're not interested in the backstory.
Really,
they look at the picture and go, wow, that's great, you know. And I mean, like, what I'm thinking of even from here today, I mean, you know, you're out and about shooting in mountain scenes and outdoor activities and such like that, and we're here for the Canon EOS R. What do you think of it?
So I had the chance to actually take that out overnight, so I done a street shoot with it at night. And
that
I
means you're really special. We're with royalty here.
We stole it. But then I still haven't given it back.
Hashtag true story. Yeah.
But we had a chance to take it out overnight, so I done a street shoot around town with it. And then I took it out for sunrise and had it out all morning. Just wanted to test all the lighting conditions with
it. So jealous.
So it's, you know, for me, and I said it to the guys, I've done a bit of an interview with Birmingham's where we spoke about it. And we'll be doing one again tomorrow where we're just talking about the experience I had with the camera. And what I found, and I'm not someone to just say I love a camera because it's come out, it's new. I'm not someone to say buy a new thing because it's new. I've never done that in my life, and I'd never endorse something because it's brand new. So for me, I just found it was an actual extension of the cameras I was using. I wanted something that I'd pick it up and say, this doesn't feel like a toy, it doesn't feel small, it doesn't feel finicky. It felt solid. Yep. The lenses feel solid. I'm a professional camera user. I want to throw around my gear. I don't care. I'm not taking care of this camera. I want it to be used for what it's meant for. It's a tool for me to capture my images and nothing more. So when I picked it up, I was using it in the rain, I was using it in the wind, dirt, and the camera was covered. It was filthy. And I, you know what, I only had it 6 hours. I didn't own this camera, but I wanted to feel like I was
You didn't
it.
Care because you didn't,
didn't own it. Yeah.
But I always said, I always say to the guys in Canon, like, I want gear that I can use, and it's the same for everyone. And what I love about that level of gear, that the 5D series, and even now the EOS R, it feels solid. It feels like something you want to bring out and use. And I know now that I could happily use that on a professional shoot.
Yeah.
You know, for the image quality alone. Now, the battery life is something I said it's not what I'd love it to be at, because I'm used to a certain level of that for events and things like that. But at the same time, I'd never have never worry about the quality that I'm going to get out of it. And for me, that's the big thing. I want to pick up something and go, this is going to do the job that I'm used to do and my clients expect.
Okay.
So if it wasn't at that level, I wouldn't use.
Okay, so you've got €3,000 in your back pocket right now. Okay, we won't ask where you got it or anything like that.
I sold the EOS R. Okay.
That was my question. Would you buy an EOS R with the €3,000?
Would I buy it? Honestly, I've had this question asked me a few times since I've been using it. And given that the quality it's at with the Mark IV level, if you're entering the market now and you don't have a camera like that or you're looking to get in, it is a very good investment. You're getting Mark IV level quality camera in a smaller and cheaper package.
Okay.
Would I buy it? Yes, I would. Yeah.
That's
awesome. And actually, a question for you on that. You know, I found a moment ago that we've all got a mutual friend, which is Bernard Geraghty.
Yeah, right? Unfortunately.
Oh, my
unfortunately.
God. Yeah, yeah.
So,
no.
You know, you mentioned in the word anything other than Sony to Bernard, and
yes,
you're kind of you're a Philistine, yeah? So, from that point of view, I mean, even as I said to at the beginning of this and in previous episodes, I'm shooting Canon, but I'm ready to go to Sony.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even after using the EOS R there, now, if you had that €3,000 in your pocket, I know we're at a Canon event, right?
Yeah,
you know, would you be swayed to say, okay, I want the Canon more so because you shoot Canon currently, or would you still look to go from a changeover? Not that Bernard would say that you should have to do
Bernard
it, but you know what I mean.
Canon. I know what he's like. He's
Exactly, yeah.
But no, you know what's funny is because I was first exposed to Sony through Bernard. Like, you know, I picked up a Canon the first time. That's why I use Canon. It's
because
the first camera I bought, it could have been any brand. It just happened to be Canon. So for me now, I have an affiliation with them because I use the gear. But when I'd seen Bernard use that camera, I mean, they're phenomenal cameras. Sony are unbelievable, and they set the benchmark in the mirrorless. Certainly now, what's going forward. So, would I be swayed to get it? It's not that I'd be swayed, but I think you're really weighing up your preference. What do you really prefer? Is it, you know, the feel or the look of it? You can't really have a bad camera at that level. I think when you're investing that sort of money, there's no such thing as a bad camera.
You know what? We just don't know how lucky we are to live
in the
age.
I really think so, yeah.
Like we get, I only said this to Alan from photographers.ie a few weeks back, that I feel that a lot of us photographers are nitpickers now.
Absolutely. You know, I'm looking at it going, oh, but what about the one card slot? What about that extra 10 megapixels? No one notices that. I mean, you're a professional photographer. You've been doing this for 20 years without these things. Yes. So like now that we're worried about it, like I think there's too much choice.
And it becomes a thing as well, you know. And like if we look at two things, actually. So Nikon released the new Z series, right? Mm. Great camera, but everybody said, oh, it only has one card. There was the one card slot gate thing everywhere went online. Now Canon released this. We didn't hear anything about the one card slot as much as we did from the Nikon point of view.
Nikon just got...
They got roasted in relation.
They really did,
And that's the thing, like, you know, so when you look
I'm okay with that, though.
Sure, yeah. Look, as Canon fanboys, of course we're going to be okay with that. You know what I mean? But like, from a general rule, I suppose, you know, with the different cameras that are out there and the quality that's there right now, we have never had it as good.
If something like a single card slot or a few extra megapixels or an extra, you know, frame per second, if you honestly think that would stop you doing a professional level work, then you're not a professional shooter, because... You know, for years people have been doing it without it. I have two card slots in every camera I've had. I've never used the second one, ever. And I'm not to say stuff doesn't go wrong, stuff doesn't fail, but it's never held me back shooting. And, you know, none of my clients have ever said, oh, do you not have backup JPEGs for that as well? You know, I've never, you know.
Yeah.
You think it's, if you just know your gear and know it enough that you know its limits, and if those limits work for you, great. If not, then you upgrade. It's understanding the limits of the gear. So, now for me, I've been very happy with what I've had. With the new ASR out, it's a fantastic addition to the Canon family. Will it replace everything I have? No, but will add on, give me an extra, maybe a little less weight in it, a new one or two lenses to play with. And for me, it's just constantly upgrading, just staying on top of what I need for my clients.
So when you say upgrading, you've got gas as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think you can ever stop. I think it's as soon as you see something new, it's just...
You're not alone in the gas, though.
I think it's something we worry about, having the new thing all the time. But you know what? Then you'll never be on top of it. There's always something new. So
this is true.
Enjoy what you have.
I think. Yeah. So I actually really enjoyed that chat, actually. And it's funny, you know, that we've all been here experiencing the same cameras, but we've all got a very similar viewpoint as well.
Absolutely.
To the cameras, you know. So, Joe, thanks a million for coming on
the Photography
Podcast.
Appreciate it, Joe. You're awesome.
Thanks,
good
guys.
Stuff. Thank you. And it's now hands-on time with the new Canon EOS R. And I'm holding it here in my hand, and we've been lucky because Dermot has one as well. Dermot's opted to go for one with the macro lens and the adapter. What's your thoughts, Dermot? How do you think it feels in your hand, like we said a moment ago?
The macro lens is always a kind of a longer lens anyway, but with the adapter, it's that little bit extra. So it does ever so slightly make the camera feel... it doesn't make it feel unbalanced, but it's a bit more front heavy. But at the same time, the camera still feels great in the hand. Now, the adapter is about 3-4 inches long, you know, and it's just, it fits seamlessly with the 100mm macro lens. It's almost like one lens. You can see it there yourself, Darren, like, you know, it's just...
It's phenomenal.
It's
phenomenal.
The feel of it is great. Like, you know, I am using an EF lens, which is fine, and it adapts quite well.
Any delay on the focus?
None. Absolutely none. It actually focuses faster with the adapter on the ESR than it does my 5D Mark III.
Wow. Now that's saying enough. But that's probably got to do with the DigiGate processor.
Oh yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's the Digic 6, is it? You're the technical guy. Is it the 6? It's on
5
the
plus on the 5D Mark III, I think.
So yeah, so you got like 2.5 or 3 steps up. I mean, for me, even looking at it here in my hand, right, so I've got the 24-105, the new mount. And I've used the 24-105 for my own, and it's a beautiful lens. It's one of my favourite lenses. But even here, it's like they've done something amazing with it. They've made it equally as good quality, equally as robust. The extra turny, ringy thingy on the front of it is great. You know, you've got a nice clicking as well coming through it. So it's like there's feedback from that. And even on the whole concept, like I said a moment ago, like I'm looking in here now through the EVF. And the detail is just phenomenal. So I take a picture of Dermot here, and he's taking a picture of me. And it's great because I can not take my eyes away from the camera, and I can take the photos. Where the buttons are as well, it's very, like I said earlier, intuitive. There's a couple of new buttons there. There's a couple here that I don't understand what they are, obviously, just yet. But I imagine that once I get my hand in it properly for a couple of days, I'll be able to figure it out. You've got this touch bar on the back. This
I haven't figured out the touch bar yet, so I can't make heads or tails of it. But
you have to hold your finger on it to turn it on, and then you can move your finger along, and it'll change.
What?
Then
what to do?
So hold your finger in the middle of it to turn it on, and it'll say on.
Maybe you have fat thumbs or fingers, I don't know.
And then you can just slide it along and it'll change. Right now it's on ISO, but you can obviously...
There's a button on the front, on the back of the screen saying it wasn't enabled.
So now it's enabled.
Yeah, okay.
So you probably have to go into the menus. But yeah, it's really, really nice, you know. And just from the ergonomic feel of the camera, it feels really, really good in my hand, like I was saying earlier on. And then the other part of it too is I would have had one of these on a previous camera. And I don't have it on my 6D. I know the 5D Mark IV doesn't have it, even though it does have touchscreen. It doesn't have, as you call it, what do you call it? The flippy-outy screeny thingy.
Flippy-out screen.
And you know,
I can't pronounce the real word.
Fully articulating screen.
That word.
But you know, it's great because you can just take it out here. You know, you can get up high, look down. You can take a photo. I was trying to take the shots earlier, like I said, on the floor with the 5D Mark IV. And I was guessing because I couldn't really see if I was going to be right or wrong rather than me laying on the ground. Whereas with that, could be down, tilted up, I get the composition bang on. And Sanjay had said an interesting thing as well earlier when he was using this. And I'd never thought about that before, but you know, you can get candid shots from people. So you can have the camera, you know, it's pointing at somebody, but you're looking at the screen. And he got a very good shot of the grooms at that wedding, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Really, really good. You know, great to hold. You know, the most things, I suppose, to be a lot of hype and everything else built up around it. But no, to be honest with you, I'm seriously impressed with this camera. I'm seriously impressed with the build quality of it. Like I said earlier, I like the whole menu system on it. And yeah, it's nice. You know, the 24-105 lens, great image stabilization, great, very, very fast to focus. All the focus points as well, actually. You know, if you touch the screen, it can focus where you want to focus on it, and then you can just take your shot. You can enable that or disable that when you touch the screen, it will take the photo for you.
Actually,
I heard a lot of people saying this, so if anybody does get one of these and they, you know, they listen to the podcast before it, I don't know, by default, I think the silent shutter may or may not be on, but you'll be taking a photo thinking, this isn't working. But actual fact, it's taking shots. And that happened to me, and it happened to a couple of other people as well inside. So it was really, really interesting. It was really good from that point of view.
Yeah.
But yeah, just very, very quick hands-on with the camera here. And I'm really, really enjoying it so far. What's your thoughts? What, from a build quality, Dermot, what would you give it?
Well, the build quality is fantastic. Like Joel said there a while ago, you could nearly throw it around and everything. Like, and it's strong. It's not like, you know, I held the Nikon Z7 and... this is far better. I know I'm a Canon fanboy and all that, but this is far, far better. The build quality is amazing. Like even the touch screen, it's like, do you know the way, like we came up in my car for a bit, and you have the touch screen in the Nissan Qashqai, and it's almost like you're forcing it to press it. This screen is like an iPhone. Do you know, it's click, 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 and your thing is pressed straight away. It's great. Darren is taking sneaky pictures of girls.
I'm taking pictures of models. Come on, no. Start to stop the lights now, right?
I know.
I'm a bad picture.
I could only make it better for you.
Really, really good. So, yeah, look, we've been very lucky here to get hands-on with this camera. And we'll post some pictures of it as well in the group. But, yeah, just a very quick segment here with hands-on with the OSR. Anything else, Dad?
Yeah, the joystick is gone.
Yeah, you're coming then from the 5D.
Mark
III. 5D would have had the joysticks.
Yeah.
I didn't have the joystick.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I'd have to get used to it.
One thing I did, I asked the question, because when I was looking through the EVF and I wanted to change the focus point, I said, how do I do that instead of actually using here? When you've got your eye up to the EVF, the LCD will go off. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Put your hand on the LCD at the bottom right-hand corner and move it around. Okay. And it should kick in. No, it's not doing it on mine, so it must be a different body that's been disabled on it, but you can enable that.
I had mine in manual focus as well to make matters worse.
So yeah, and then you can just move your finger around and it moves around as well then inside in the EVF. So yeah, really, really good. Again, like I say, you know, I'm liking it.
I'm loving it. I'm actually loving it.
No, a pity I can't just take it away with me right now. You know, it's like when you get something and you really like it and you have to give it back.
I know, yeah. It's like when you go to your cousin's house for Christmas Day and he gets an awesome toy that you didn't get that you wanted and you're like, I really don't like him even more.
I agree with that. But no, you know what, again, like I said, great, really good feeling in the hand. I want to spend a bit more time with this EOS R.
Okay.
First impressions.
Let's go play with it for another bit and we'll come back with someone else, will we?
Yeah, we'll try and get somebody from Canon. They can tell us exactly what we're talking about instead of you and I just actually blagging at you.
Okay. Talk to you soon, guys. We will be back soon.
Welcome back. And we're very lucky here. We've got a person from Canon sitting next to us. His name is Frankie. Hi, Frankie.
Hi. How's it going?
Wonderful. Really enjoying the day today. I think the feedback from people as well has been quite resoundingly positive from what I've heard anyway, which is great. Frankie, tell us a bit about you. Who are you? How long have you been working and how did you come to work with Canon?
So my name is Frankie Jim. I've been with Canon UK and Ireland for 10 and a half years.
Wow.
How I came to work for Canon is probably due to the previous employments that I've had. I've been lucky that I've had a vast, varied career where I've actually had experience in marketing, in sales, in loyalty schemes. And
okay.
For Canon itself, I look at something called Canon Professional Services for UK and Ireland,
okay.
Which is a service support program for Canon users. So that's priority service, that is support at professional events.
Wow, okay.
But it's also training and experience days, so an opportunity for customers to get hands-on with our equipment in real-life situations, such as what we have here today.
So are you the spearhead in regards to what we've experienced here today?
Yes, so basically 2 days after launch, I created an event where our VIPs came down to London at the Depositories, which was the, most people know that venue because it was filmed, the original series of Dragon's Den was filmed there.
Okay, yes.
And I wanted to highlight the EOS R's strengths. So one is low light AF, so we create scenarios where you could test the autofocus capability in extreme low light. In fact, we set up a room which was so dark that customers were actually slightly disorientated, so we actually had to lighten up the room. But also we wanted to really give customers a real chance in terms of not just trying out the camera, but trying it in a real-life situation so they could see for themselves what the cameras can actually do for them.
Frankie, did I hear somewhere that is that you can go down to -6 in low light?
Yes, -6 EV, which is ridiculously...
That's crazy.
I mean, to give you an idea how dark that is, if you put your hand in front of your face, you wouldn't see your hand.
Wow.
But we tried to simulate that, but it got so dark that for our customers it wasn't such a disorientating experience. So we actually had to lighten it for them. But you only get that with the new RF 50 1.2 lens.
Okay.
But we've also found that actually in terms of tracking, for instance, my job role is quite varied. So though I look at African professional services, I get to play around with the kit at various different events.
Lucky you,
so
yeah.
2 weeks ago, I was at London Fashion Week where I decided to try a little test with the 51.2. I shot a catwalk wide open at 1.2, so a model coming down a catwalk. Every single picture, absolutely sharp.
Wow.
So for me, I'm excited for the system because it enables me to shoot in a way which previously I couldn't. So I couldn't do that with the existing EF50. It's not fast enough. But what the new system allows you to do is it allows the focusing speed, the processing, the thinking time is so much quicker, which allows me to, you know, get those shots, which
yes.
previously I couldn't do.
And actually, I noticed when we were doing the shots inside, I couldn't see the camera. It was so dark, the actual physical body of the camera. But looking through the EVF, it was perfect.
Yeah.
And I was able to look at the shots. See, and what I loved, we were talking about earlier on as well, what I loved about it is what I saw on the EVF is exactly how the shot was.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant, you know, and it's so dark, I couldn't see the camera, yet we could pick it up
and
in
the
camera.
And the thing about it, like, when you were focusing, it didn't hunt, it didn't take a second or two to focus, it locked on straight away, like, that blew me away, like.
Yeah, and you know, like, from a landscape point of view as well, I mean, low light, if I'm shooting in the dawn, or if I'm shooting after sunset, or anything like that, it's something that I'm shooting in a 6D at the moment, and it's quite good from a noise handling point of view, but I imagine that that's going to be leagues ahead of it, you know?
It is. The beauty of the EVF is, for the first time, if you shoot astro or low light, like such as yourself, I mean, I shoot astro myself, and I used to have to rely on a torch to actually, you know, focus and actually see what is I'm going to get from my foreground and background. So I'm very excited to test this new system.
Yeah.
But going back to what you're saying about the speed of the autofocus system, this is the fastest autofocus system for full-frame mirrorless camera in the world at the moment.
Wow.
And also for landscape. Very, very useful because the new system processes data so quickly that you have a lot of real-time corrections in there. So if you have an existing EF lens, say the 16-35,
yes,
it will apply the digital lens optimizer in real time. It's the first system that will also correct for tilt shift and fisheye lenses as well.
Wow.
So even if you can only afford to buy the body initially and you've got existing EF glass, you may find in quite a few circumstances that the image quality, particularly on the edges, which is obviously great for landscape photographers, you know, you'll see the benefits.
Wow, for now I can't wait. You know, I'd love to be able to take one away for a couple of days and actually get into the field and use it, you know.
Frank, he'll give you one there. He's got loads of money.
Yeah, great. He's got loads on the table after today, yeah. Listen, that's been really, really good. Frankie, thanks. Appreciate your time.
No problem.
You know, great to get an insight as well, I suppose, from your point of view. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what the developments will be as I get to use it in the field as well. Perfect.
Brilliant. Frankie, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so guys, so we've moved on to the main man of the whole day, Sanjay. I'm sorry, now I'm going to butcher your second name.
Jogia.
I'm a bit starstruck here, I have to admit. Your work is absolutely phenomenal.
Thank
especially
you very much.
Because I am a wedding photographer as well. But your work just blows me away. How are you keeping, buddy?
Not too bad.
It's
glad
great
to be in Dublin.
Yeah, it's great to have you here and to open up this Canon ESR event. Describe to us some of your images that were on display there today.
Well, it was a broad cross-section, actually. So essentially, Canon asked me to use the EOSR for a wedding, for a real wedding. So I like challenges, and I decided to use a four-day wedding, which was probably the biggest of the year, as an example. Yeah. And Canon kindly gave me two EOSRs, two of only 12 in the world at the time.
Wow.
And
that's unreal. Yeah.
It was quite an experience because they arrived the morning of the event, so I didn't have any training with it. I didn't have much time to customize it and get used to it. I was doing it under pressure of the event. So thankfully there were several days leading up to the main wedding for me to get used to it and customize it, because customization is a key thing on this camera as well.
Yes, totally agree.
And also just getting a feel for the new lenses.
And what lenses did you get with the cameras when they sent them to you?
Yeah, I was incredibly privileged to have all four of the new lenses. So I had the 51.2 and the 24-105, which are the production lenses available with the camera as they launched. And pre-production 35mm f1.8 STM macro.
Okay.
And my favorite of the bunch is the 28-70 f2.
That looks like a beast of a lens.
It's a stunning lens, stunning piece of glass. You know, it's slightly bigger and heavier than some of the others, but you see why when you actually use it. In reality, I couldn't put that lens down all day long. It's now there at the top with the 7200 as my favorite lens.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool. And come here, you said earlier that your father used to work for Kodak, didn't he?
Yeah. Right. So I grew up with photography. So my dad, it was his second job when he came to the UK from Africa, actually. So there's a big Indian community in Africa, so he was born and bred there, and he moved to the UK, and it was his second job, I think, in the second year that he moved to the UK, and he was there for 35 years.
Wow.
You know, retired there a long while back, but because I grew up with the whole Kodak and photography culture, I think it ended up in my blood somehow. I mean, I actually worked in the factory myself, which is something I didn't mention during the talk. So when I was a student at university, I used to do summer jobs there.
Yeah.
So I spent two or three summers working at the factory, actually making two of the seven layers that make up the Kodachrome film.
Wow.
So, got my hands dirty there as well.
That's really cool. And did you go to college to study photography, or did you just pick up a camera and just be awesome?
Oh, thank you for that. No, I'm self-taught. Is that the right word?
Self-taught, yeah.
Everyone goes through training of some sort at some stage in their career.
Okay.
You know, everyone needs guidance at some stage. So to say I'm self-taught might sound arrogant, but as a kid, I picked up a camera and started shooting. And I was just experimenting, you know, and wasting film and, you know, developing it and having a play and learning that way around. And I needed to formalize that. But no, I studied architecture. I'm actually a qualified architect.
Go away.
So,
to cut across you. That's funny you say that, because Darren was saying, and from a landscape point of view, is that a lot of your images, the symmetry is immense.
That's probably where that comes from, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably where that comes from.
Because that's one thing I was looking at when you had the presentation going in the images.
Sure.
And I said to Darren, look at the symmetry on that. That's incredible, you know. And across a number of the images that you'd shown, and one of the images we actually spoke about earlier was... Dermot said it was like Charlize Theron,
right?
You know, on the balcony and
stuff
like that.
Oh, I see. Yes, sure.
And it was perfectly
executed.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a wedding in Lake Como. Beautiful bride, and her background is fashion. So she basically gave me the challenge of creating a wedding album that looked like it was a Vogue magazine.
Wow.
So I had to create a series of images that had that similar style and feel.
Was that a lot of pressure?
No, because I was enjoying it so much.
That's so cool.
That's the thing. You know, when you get into it, when you enjoy it, and you can see... when you get a buzz out of the images you create, and your client's got a buzz out of the images you create, and I always show them on the back of the camera, it spurs me on, it spurs them on even more.
Yeah.
And so... it's very cyclical, and it kind of spools up in a sort of exponential way. You start off slow, you build them up, and you get them into it, and then as it progresses, as they see the results, they get more and more into it, and you produce more and more of that sort of imagery. But yeah, that was fun. That was an interesting one to shoot because it was quite windy, and that image was lit by a softbox.
Okay.
It's a big off-camera light held by my assistants up in the air, and they were being blown around like a sail.
Yes.
So that was lit with flash, that particular
I told image. You they were lit with flash.
Yeah, you were right. But look, you're a wedding photographer, I'm a landscape photographer. I think I know about a flash is that it sits on a shelf in a shop.
He actually has a flash at home. He's never taken it out of the box.
Yeah, I haven't, you know.
Sculpture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a piece of art that sits on the wall. Absolutely. You know? Yeah, one day I'll figure out how to use it. Like, do you know what I mean? But yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose one question I have, I know Dermot from the photography and the wedding photography point of view is quite interested to talk to you, but the images that you were on display here that were printed, you were saying earlier that they were taken from the new EOS R.
Correct.
And that they were only shot in JPEG.
They were shot RAW and JPEG.
Oh, okay.
But I had to use the JPEGs to process these out because of the time constraints, and you know, the camera only arrived at my doorstep the morning of the first event, and I had to return it at the end of the fourth day, but the next day. There was a bit of a rush, and I didn't get my hands on the RAW development software until a week or so later.
Yes.
But what it meant was I needed to be able to process some images out quickly for a same day slideshow.
Okay.
Just to add even more pressure to it.
Wow. Same day slideshow.
Yeah, that was a challenge. And then also to produce some imagery for Canon. So I thought, let's just use the JPEGs. And when I was processing these images on the day in between the wedding and the reception, I was struck by just how good the JPEGs were. So I haven't shot JPEGs since maybe my first year of photography. You know, I've always shot RAW otherwise. And I couldn't believe just how clean and smooth these JPEGs are.
Yeah,
and in a way, it kind of has... I don't know if you guys have ever used the original 5D Mark I.
No, I've never used the Mark I. I've used the Mark II onwards.
So the Mark I had this really beautiful, kind of creamy, very sexy feel to the images.
Okay.
And somehow the R, with all of the sort of technical evolution that's happened since then, and we're talking about a 10-year difference at least between the two, has somehow managed to regain that beautiful quality with all of the technical advancement that's happened.
Wow.
So yeah, really struck by how good just the JPEGs are. I can't wait to process those RAWs actually.
They're phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And like I said to Darren earlier, what's the point in shooting RAW you produced those JPEGs out. So I'm sure if I had the camera in my hand, I'm not going to get the same results as you did.
I'm not sure. I mean, this is my take on it. If the JPEGs are that good, how good are the RAWs?
Yeah.
You know, that's my point of view.
And you're really excited, I imagine.
I'm really excited. I'm excited with the whole new change that's coming, actually. Just something I tell a lot of people is, if you think about the development of the R lenses and what they're achieving and how good they are, and to get your hands on them and have a play, and that's the only way to see how good they are.
Yeah.
You know, tech specs do it no justice whatsoever. But when you realize just how good these Rs are, the RF lenses are, it signifies what's coming with Canon.
Yeah.
You know, it can only get better.
Like Garrett Conroy was saying when I met him down in Limerick a few weeks back.
Sure.
Like they had, like Nikon had this roadmap or whatever, but Canon had just these lenses, right? A picture of them. And then they had these other lenses, but they're blacked out.
Yes.
So you don't know what they are.
Exciting
like,
times.
I'm like, oh my God, I just want to see what they are. Like exciting a child times. At Christmas.
And what was the lens that you said that you fell in love with?
The 28-70 f2.
Yeah.
So its equivalent EF would be the 24-70 f2.8.
Okay.
But miles better.
But I don't want to say miles better because I don't want to put down the 24-70. Okay. It's a great lens.
It is a lovely lens.
But
as well,
it's incredibly good. I mean, there's a marked difference in quality in its. And I don't mean to say that the 24-70 is bad quality. It's just a different quality.
Yes.
You know, it's f/2 on what's basically a short focal range for a zoom. You know, but that separation is so apparent between 2.8 and f/2. And also the clarity and sharpness, and just there's a certain presence that I think that the new RF lens has that
other lenses wouldn't.
I haven't seen in other lenses, maybe apart from the new 51.2 RF that has a very similar presence.
Yes.
Between and the separation between the sharpness and the rest of the image.
And the bokeh, I imagine, is unbelievable as well. And
beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the one lens that I am waiting for, and I've always used it. It's my favorite. It's my 85mm 1.2.
Yes.
And I love it. I'll never get rid of it. But if Canon bring out an 85mm 1.2 RF lens, I'm sorry now. My wife is going to shoot me.
Exciting stuff.
But I'm buying it. Yeah. If she wants to divorce me, she can do it all she wants.
Jack, there's a bit of a backstory we have to explain here. You know that? Have you heard of a phrase called GAS?
Yes.
So gear acquisition syndrome, yes. So there's a dictionary of it. When you look at the dictionary, that's the face that you'll find. Yeah.
You're the definition.
So, yeah. So that's why his wife will say that she'll leave him because his house is
full of equipment.
You've no idea. It's just shelf after shelf.
My house is going to be robbed by the time we get home.
She sold them all, no, but it's shelf after shelf if you were to hold on to all of the lenses that you would have had. Yeah, yeah. You know? So, yeah, I mean, even looking at the quality, I used the 24-105. I really, really like that. Mm-hmm. I used the 50mm. I really, really like that as well. You know, and I'm landscape, as I said, primarily. I wouldn't shoot portrait. I'd never done it before.
Sure.
First time ever doing it there today. And I was, wow, okay.
Yeah.
There's something about these lenses and the EOS R that inspires confidence in being able to shoot at the extreme. So you could shoot with the 51.2 at 1.2, and it will nail focus on the eye. And the level of detail that it renders is like something I've never seen. We have to remember that the EOS R isn't a pro camera. It sits between the 6D and the 5D.
Yes.
And it's that good. I mean, that
phenomenal.
For me speaks volumes. And I know there are critics for one reason or another. There always will be when it comes to technology. Well, there always will be when it comes to anything, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
But what people need to remember is, if Canon have invested so much time and resource in developing this whole new range of lenses, what else is coming?
Yeah.
That's what really excites me, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to stand still.
And what that's capable of there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's the new era. You know, it was 1987, I think, when the EOS system came out. You know, we're 2018 now.
And it's version 1.0, and it's this good, you know?
Yeah.
I think, that's like Canon. I'm a Canon fanboy, true and true. I've used Canon since I've started photography, but they were a bit of a sleeping giant. I think Sony is after kicking them between the legs, and Canon are fighting back now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. So I've grown up shooting Canons. My first Canon was an AE-1. I was made a Canon ambassador earlier this year, so I know it may seem like...
Congratulations, by the way.
Wow, thank you very fantastic,
much.
Yeah.
I know it might sound like I'm just doing a job as an ambassador and saying all good things about Canon, but you know, I wouldn't have been using Canon all my life if I didn't trust them. And if I didn't trust them to do the right thing when it was necessary. And sure, I understand the argument of them being a sleeping giant at times. But when something new and revolutionary does come from Canon, it breaks the mold.
Yeah.
And they did that with the 5D Mark II. The 1DX Mark I and Mark II raised the bar even further. And whilst this is the first foray into mirrorless, and some may not say it's revolutionary, the other end of this system is, and it's the lenses.
Yeah.
So my take on this is that it's a system being built around a range of astounding lenses rather than a bunch of lenses being designed around a camera system.
Body, yeah.
So when you look at it this way around, everything else is usually designed around the body. Some of the other brands you mentioned have to use adapters for Canon lenses. You lose speed, you lose certain qualities. One of the things about the RF lenses and certainly the EOS R itself is its dynamic range. It's very natural. When you open up shadows and you open up this, you know, the detail, even on a JPEG in post-production, it looks natural, it looks believable. The skin tones are retained, skin tones look flattering.
So there's no artifacts or anything like that?
No. And this is the amazing thing. You know, we shoot weddings.
Yeah. And bride and grooms are particularly hypercritical of themselves. And the first thing they look at in a photograph is themselves.
Yeah.
So, and if the skin tones are off, they're going to hate that picture. Doesn't matter how good the photograph is, technically,
mm-hmm.
even artistically in terms of composition or whatever. But
they're the element that they're looking at.
If the colours look wrong, they're going to hate that.
Yeah.
And that's something that Canon have over everyone else. And I'm sure some of the other guys catching up, no doubt they will do. Canon won't sit still. You know, they will keep moving.
What did I say to you about Canon, what the edge they have over every other camera maker is the colour.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always said it, the colour in a Canon camera is just, you're not going to match it.
Yeah. But I mean, actually the point I was making about the dynamic range is that it doesn't, when you open up the detail, it doesn't look cartoon-like. It looks natural and it looks believable. You know, whereas many other camera systems that have broad dynamic range and lots of high ISO performance, when you open them up, those images look like they belong on a comic strip, not on a
photograph. The colour palette of Canon actually, I think, is spot on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we've got Canon colour palette, you've got a Nikon, which can be more of a yellowy kind of an orangey colour as well. You know, I don't know about the Sonys, but I've always shot Canon, and even on that, for the odd time I have shot people, I don't really shoot photos of people. But bang on, and you know, you're saying that from a wedding point of view, you can be confident you get the shot, and as you say, show them on the back of the camera.
Indeed. And you want to inspire confidence in your brides and grooms.
Yeah, brilliant.
You know, you want them to feel good about being photographed, so.
Perfect. So, Sanjay, thank you so much for coming on.
I
mean, like, I'm actually genuinely starstruck, we did get a photograph, so I'm putting this up on Instagram. So, I'm now calling you my best friend, if that's okay.
No worries, look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, we're best friends with Canon Ambassador, yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose, where can people find more details about you?
So, my website is all the W's, iJogia.com, that's iJogia.com. I'm on Facebook as Sanjay Jogia. I'm on Instagram as @iJogia. And there's also a Facebook page, which is Facebook / iJogia.
Okay.
So yeah, we're on all the socials.
Brilliant.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll send them an email later and we'll get all the details as well. We can put it down as a description underneath the show notes of the podcast. Yeah.
Excellent. Wonderful. Absolutely. Yeah. Sanjay, thank you so much.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
It, buddy.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so guys, so that was Sanjay. It was an absolute pleasure to have him. I thought he was very very good guest, very intelligent. He's he knows what he's doing with a camera, and his, like I said, his work speaks for itself. Darren, as an overall, how did you think the whole day went?
Ah, man, unreal. I think we got to experience something which, like I said earlier, we're very lucky to be able to be part of. Even to get to spend the time with, you know, Frankie from Canon, you know, with Sanjay, and just even with the people around the place, hands-on with this camera, phenomenal. I'm actually really excited to go home with the SD card that we got. We got a free SD card. and bring it home and, you know, and have a go at looking at these images. Now, I hope, there was one thing actually, I hope that I'd done my shots in both JPEG and RAW, depending on the camera that I had. So I probably will only have some RAWs, but I can wait. That's fine. You know, but really, really good. Really, really good day. Great people, great insight. What's your thoughts, Dermot?
I loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I'm kind of humbled. I'm privileged the fact that the two of us are here today and we were invited up. Thank you so much to Cons. Like, this wouldn't have been possible without Cons.
Yeah.
And they went over and beyond now to bring us up here and
get us in here and be able to sit down here and get direct access to people as well.
Yeah.
It's like if we've been brought in as part of the Canon family. I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but you know, we have, because the guys have been so friendly. We're sitting in here, we're set up right next to everybody. You know?
We're eating lunch at them there 2 minutes ago. Yeah. Sitting down, chilling out, laughing, having a good crack. Like,
unreal.
You know?
Unreal. Yeah, really, really good day. Really enjoyed the podcast. I hope the listeners enjoyed the podcast. And yeah.
The only thing that I'm scared of is the fact that I'm actually going to buy one.
Gas.
No, it's not gas. I'm going to say, no, wait.
Gas.
Will you stop? Stop being such a child.
Call an ambulance, this man has gas.
Everyone says that I'm childish. I think you're the biggest child out of all of us.
Never grow up. Never surrender.
But no, I am actually seriously contemplating on selling one of my cameras and going forward and maybe buying this, because, Darren, I'm not joking, you know, today sold me on this camera. It blew me away with how fast it focuses, how it performs in low light situations, the quality of the camera. I know the lenses are there as well, and they're phenomenal also. But it blew me away. I give this camera a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Really good.
I couldn't fault. Even the video. Do you remember the video I took? Come here. You can kiss your GoPro 7 down the drain. Because when we use this in video, it's almost like you put on your IS and then it goes enhanced.
Yeah.
And then it's just pure smooth.
We'll have to look at that. Was that video of me by any chance?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I have it. Okay, I have it on the card. That, and that's in 4K. It's just, I loved it. I loved it.
Well, you know, till the next time, we'll see if this man has a new Canon EOS R on order. Special order, back order,
I don't know.
Pre-order.
I have to wait and see.
I don't know. Or else it'll be the newly divorced man. We'll see one of the two.
We will do. Okay, so we're going to wrap that up for today, guys. I'd like to say thank you so much again to Cons. This, like I said, wouldn't be possible without them. And guys, if you can go on to iTunes, and I'm going to put this out there now. All I want is five people, just five people, to go out and just give us a rating on iTunes and maybe a comment on it, just to boost our performance. We would really appreciate it. So just five people who listen to this, rate us on iTunes. And remember, guys, you can catch us on Podbean, Spotify, and all your good platforms where you can get your podcast. So for that today, guys, thank you very much for listening. Darren, we'll talk to you again soon.
Slán go fóill.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.